really miss a lot of them. Now, yes, you know, if I had a word to leave you, don't never quit. Don't never quit. Just keep on getting for the Lord. Get behind Brother Dan. Lift him up in prayer. Pray for him. Back him up. Support him all you can. Support him all you, even if you can't support him. Stand behind. I appreciate each one of you. Love you. And I'll be needing your prayer, of course, you know. And I'll be looking forward to it. And I'll see you. If I don't see you no more here, we'll see you in heaven.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, open the book of Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I'll be bringing just a short message to this church. We're glad to have the members of Liberty Baptist Church with us today, all those are men back in their families that are here. And, of course, a lot of them's not here. I really was kind of hesitant about preaching this today on account of many of our church members being here. It was kind of hard, but maybe I'll get this tape and take it back down yonder and let the rest of the church members hear it. It'll be for them. In Exodus chapter 17, story of Moses. God called Moses to preach the burning bush. Moses, like most men, give excuses to keep from preaching. God overcame his excuses, and he had to go ahead and preach anyhow. And, of course, Moses was a great man of God, the Lord mightily used. And we're going to read just a little bit about him and say just three or four things to the church, the Liberty Baptist Church. And then Brother Luke will bring the charge to Brother Jean personally. Exodus 17:11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were stiff until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now back in the book of Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Want to read verse 31. Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. Well, you see in verse 30, Aaron spake the words of Moses, which the Lord had commanded unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And then in Exodus 4 and verse 31, it says, and the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Now, chapter 6 and verse 10. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I want to speak to you just for a few minutes on the church and its pastor, or the attitude of God's people towards God's man. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this privilege of prayer. We thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for amazing grace. We thank you, Lord, for the power of God that saves and calls them and to stand and preach your word. Lord, we know that no man can do it alone. But God, just as you called Moses at the burning bush, we believe you're still calling men today to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and preach the word of God to the people. Lord, I thank you for this one that's here today. Thank you for this dear church, Lord, and for these precious members that are here today, Lord, that have felt like you've called him to be their pastor. I pray that you'd enlighten their eyes, help them to do their part, Lord, to stand behind him to be the man of God he should be and can be by your help. And we'll thank you for Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I want to speak to you just a few minutes this afternoon on the attitude of God's people toward God's man. You that know the story of the book of Moses know that Moses grew up under the rule and reign of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, where his mother had left him down in the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter came and found him, raised him up in the palace. And then the Bible says that he had it in his heart one day to visit his brethren, and God, he slew the Egyptian, ran off to the wilderness, and while he's out there, God spoke to him through the burning bush and gave him his calling and his message. And you can learn a lot about the attitude of God's people and toward God's man by reading the book of Exodus. How they received Moses, how many times they stood right with him, and then how sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they would murmur and complain. And we learn a lot of lessons about the attitude of God's people toward God's man. I want to say a few things on it right quick this afternoon. I'll try not to hold you too long, but I do want to say these few words of encouragement to Liberty Baptist Church. You know, I've noticed in going out preaching revivals, I've talked to pastors that have been in pastoring churches for several years, a lot longer than I have. And I found out that in a lot of churches, just about every church has the very same problem. And a lot of times the same problems happens to every church. And it's not anything new. It's been going on for years. But one thing I've noticed, and I notice here in the book of Exodus, and still do today, that sometimes, either intentionally or unintentionally, God's people give God's man a hard time. Sometimes it's intentional, and that's real bad. But sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes, without realizing it, maybe, God's people will give God's man a hard time. You see the hard time they give Moses here? Moses went down to preach to Pharaoh, and the children of Israel would not even believe his message. And Moses went and prayed to God, and he said, God, I can even get your people to believe, let alone Pharaoh and the men in Egypt. I believe that this singing, that a church ought to believe what the man of God preaches. Brother, if they don't believe what he says, they ought not to got him for the pastor to start with. And so, brother, they ought to believe him. Moses, tell you, friends, it's very hard for a preacher. It's very hard to get him to get sinners to repent when he can't even get church members to repent. It's hard to get sinners to come to the altar when God's people won't come to the altar. And so, brother, sometimes they unintentionally, maybe, give him a hard time. What Moses was saying there, Lord, how in the world is my preaching going to affect a lost, ungodly heathen king? How in the world is my preaching going to convict old wicked Pharaoh if your people and my people won't even believe the message? You see, the Bible tells us the pastor is an overseer. I know if you worked in a plant or you've worked in a factory, you know what an overseer is. He's a man that's in charge. He's a man that's over what's taking place. Brother, he is the overseer. But did you know tonight that this afternoon that a lot of churches will not allow God's man to be the overseer? I mean, they just won't stand for it. I tell you, folks, I don't even understand why some churches have a preacher. I don't see what they got one for. They don't listen to him. They have no intentions of doing what he said. They have no intentions of believing his message. They twiddle their thumbs while he preaches and file their fingernails during the invitation. I don't see why they don't just take the money that they're giving him and give it to a missionary or something and just have a little Bible study or something. They don't need a preacher. I tell you, if you call a preacher, don't listen to what he says. So the Bible says that sometimes they unintentionally give him a hard time. I believe you ought to respect three things about your preacher. Now, like I said, all this is hard. A lot of our church members are here, and they can listen or not. That's up to them. It's very hard for me to say this. And so, brethren, this is for y'all's church, and the rest of you can do what you want to with it. I believe you ought to respect him for three right ways. Number one, you ought to respect his decisions. Now, a lot of times, God shows his man something that he don't show other people. I'm not saying that he's any better. I'm not saying that any preacher is one bit better in God's sight than any other saved individual. But I am saying they're different in their position. They're different in their place. And sometimes God shows his man something that he doesn't show somebody else. And what causes trouble in a lot of churches is God's people will not respect God's man's decision. Suppose he gets up there one Sunday night and says, folks, the Lord laid it on my heart to have a revival. And we're starting tomorrow night. No advertisement, no posters, not putting it in the newspaper. We'll be here tomorrow night for service. You know what would happen in the average Baptist church if a preacher got up and said that? About 30% or maybe 50% of the congregation would sit there and they'd say, I believe he's out of the will of God. I didn't feel nothing. Well, whoever said God would tell you when it's time to have a revival? That's what he's got the preacher for. That's his job. And you know a man that spends hours on his knees every week praying and seeking God's will for the church. You know, if God speaks to a man about something, it'll be that man in the pulpit. I ain't saying God can't speak to a member, but when decisions like that need to be made, God will tell the man of God. He's in tune with God. If he's not, God will take care of him anyway. Say a little bit more about that in just a minute. And a lot of times, Brother Number, not right quickly, you should just respect his decision, and then you ought to respect his methods. I tell you, brother, you ought to respect his methods. There ain't no preachers alike. No two preachers going to preach alike, and there wouldn't be much good for them if they did. Somebody said, I wish we had one just like our old preacher. Brother, if two people do everything just alike all the time, one of them's unnecessary. And God never did. Everybody does things different. Every preacher. And one of the most low-down things on the earth for a church member to do is sit around and snub up and swell up and pout and get mad because he didn't do it like our other preacher did. Oh, the old preacher, the one we used to have, he always did it like this. And every time on my birthday, he'd mention it. Made me feel so good. My dear friends, you ought to respect his methods. Brother Gene won't be like no other pastor you've ever had. He shouldn't be like no other pastor you ever had. He ought to be better than any pastor you've ever had. Brother, you ought to respect his methods. You know, sometimes some church members feel like it's their divine calling from God to keep the preacher straight. That's what God's called them to do. And brother, let him make one move out of line, they're there to correct him. I knew a preacher that had a guy like that in his church, and every service the guy would walk out and he would shake the preacher's hand and tell him how many mistakes he made during his message. And I mean, he's just a pain in the neck, man. Somebody coming out, you're doing your very best, and somebody just coming out, well, you said this wrong. Did you know you quoted that verse wrong? Did you know this? Brother, I'd like to see some of that outfit get up and try it a Sunday or two. Amen. Sometimes you give a man a hard time when you may realize it and you may not. But you ought to respect his methods. If your preacher lives right, he prays, he seeks God's will, don't you ever question the methods that he used. He may preach on the same thing 5 Sundays in a row. It's not for you to sit there and say, well, I just don't believe he's led of the Lord. I think we ought to hear this preached once in a while. I think that's none of your business what's preached. Your business is to pray for him and back him up. It's God's business to give him the right message. Amen. Man, it's hard enough to find out what God wants you to preach without 15 different people telling you 15 different things. One time a lady, and I ain't going to say who it was, one time a lady said, Danny, I think you ought to preach more about them babies cutting up in our church and making all that noise. And for a long time after that, I wouldn't preach on that. I don't know if it's just because I was stubborn or just because I felt like, well, if I preach on it now, I'll be doing it just because she said something about it. And it messed me up for several months. I couldn't tell if it was the Lord wanting me to preach it, if he was just trying to please her or what. And brother, I made up my mind that preaching the Word of God is between God, man, and God. I mean, if you don't like my shoes, you can tell me and I won't fall out with you about it. If you don't like, brother, the way I comb my hair, you can tell me and I won't fall out about it. But when it comes to preaching, nobody has ever been able to tell God's man what to preach, when to preach, where to preach, how long to preach, when to stop, when to hush, how long to make it. It ain't none of nobody's business but God's man. I don't like to hear that because they're proud and want to tell the preacher what to do. Yeah, brother, you're looking at one that believes what the Bible says, that it's ever bent between God's man and God. You say, well, what if he gets out of God's will? It still ain't none of your business. Not a bit in this world. If he's God's man, God will straighten him out. If he's not, you shouldn't be sitting there listening to him no way. You ought to go somewhere else and find where God's man's preaching and listen to him. Amen. I can't understand how come a lot of church people will sit there, service after service after service, and listen to a man preach they don't have a bit of confidence in. Man, I'd get out and go somewhere and find me a preacher that I could believe what he says. He says, I'm just going to sit around and he'll resign. You might have a long wait, but if Brother Gene's the man I believe he is, he's there to stay, folks. I don't believe this. I mean, I know the Lord's will changes a lot of times, change different men, but brother, you can't pass your church in 6 months. Sometimes God may only marry 20 years. come of the Lord. One time this lady came to the preacher and she said, "Preacher, I've been praying and I just feel like your time's about up. I just feel like your time's up here. You ought to leave." He scratched his head a minute and he said, "Well, lady, if I remember correctly, you was here when I came. According to that, your time's about up. You ought to leave." I don't believe, brother, that a church ought to try to scare the preacher off. A lot of them doing that, too. There's a lot of preachers, people that will sit back and snub up and deliberately not say amen, not back him up, not tell him they enjoyed it, because they think, now, if we do this long enough, he's going to get the message that we don't want him, and he's going to resign, and we'll take over. I want to say it, brother, this afternoon, that sometimes they give him a hard time. They're fighting the battle, brother, and as long as Moses held up his hands, Israel would win the battle. But just as soon as he got tired and his hands started going down, then the enemy would win the battle. Now the Bible tells us that Moses got tired and he couldn't hold his hands up all day long. And so some good godly men got behind him and they put a stone underneath him so he cut down and rest. And Aaron got under one arm and Hur got under the other arm and they held Moses' hands up. I want to say to you, church, as long as you do that and hold up the man of God's hand, the Lord will fight the battle. But just as sure, brother, as you say, you got us into this mess. Moses, we wouldn't be in this battle if it wasn't for you. You want to go to borrow all that money. You're the one that caused this to happen, that to happen. I ain't going to support you. He can't stand there and hold his hands up all day by himself. He's got to have some help. You know what's going on in average Baptist church, eh? The preacher stand there holding up his arms like this, and the deacon and the men in the church is over here doing pull-ups on his arms. Amen. He's having to hold them up and everything else. Brother, I tell you, sometimes you respect his methods. And then, of course, you ought to respect his message. Like I said, if he's God's man, you ought to listen. If you ain't, shouldn't be listening to him no way. I mean, if it's you, your grandma, your kids. You know, there's a lot of people, when the preacher gets up and he preaches on something, maybe their kids is guilty of, or their wife's guilty of, or their grandma's guilty of, they'll swell up and get mad and say, "I believe he got in the flesh. I believe he was meddling." You see, it's preaching as long as blasting everybody else in the universe. But when you start preaching to the people sitting in front of you, then it's meddling. But I believe that a church ought to be able to back up their preacher, not just when he's preaching what they like, but when he's preaching the truth, even if it is they don't like, or even if it is something they're guilty of, they still be all able to say, "Amen, preacher." I mean, good night, folks. You better be glad you ain't got one of these weirdos that come around and says a bunch of words about that long. Nobody can understand. Never even mentions the word sin. Tells you it's all right, just live like you want to. You better be glad you ain't got a man like that. You ought to respect his message. And I want to say, they give him a hard time sometimes. But you know, I found out you can't please them. And you ought to be just, I know it's impossible to please everybody, but you ought to your best to stand behind him. Somebody said, "Oh, he ain't like our old preacher. I like the other one better. I like this better. I like the way we used to do that." You know what? They finally found the perfect preacher. You hear about that? Finally found him. Let me read you about him. Hundreds of years, a model pastor has finally been found. He preaches exactly 30 minutes. Condemns sin, but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. in every type of activity, from giving out the word to custodial service. He makes less than $100 a week, yet wears fine clothes, buys good books regularly, has a nice family and drives a new car, and gives $30 a week to the church. He also stands ready to contribute to every other worthy cause. He is 26 years old and has been preaching for 30 years. He is tall and short. He is women handsome. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers, and he's occupied full time with older folks. He smiles constantly with a straight face, because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all his time evangelizing the lost, and is never out of his office. That's a perfect preacher. And I want to say, that's about the way some churches expect out of one man. Listen, church, he can't be out visiting all the time and holding the rag for you to blow your nose on and yet still have something good to give you on Sunday morning when he gets up. He's gotta pray. He's gotta study. He's gotta stay on his face and see God. Brother, I found out if you preach hard, some don't like it. If you preach soft, some don't. That's right. You're either too young, not got enough experience, and we don't need you. or else you're too old and out of date and cranky. We don't need you. If your kids are a little angel, they say, he's mean to them kids. If they cut up a little bit, they say, he lets his kids run wild. If your wife is active in church activity, they say, she tries to run everything. If she don't, they say, she don't back him up. Amen. I mean, if she minds her own business and sits there and listens like everybody else, she don't back him up. If one of his kids is caught doing something, man, they're mean as the devil. I want to say to you, church, don't try your best not to do that. Try to accept it. Try to do what you can. Now, I don't say something right quickly. Second, a lot of times they expect him to be faithful to them, whether they're faithful to him or not. Do you know churches expect the preacher to be faithful to them, whether they're faithful to him or not? I mean, brother, they can lay out. They can run around. They can do anything under the sun, brother, on Wednesday night and not even bother to come by. They can miss church Sunday morning, Sunday night, never think a thing about it. But I want you to know, brother, when their nose is bleeding, he better be there. I mean, they expect him to be there. And I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong. They ought to be. But I believe, brother, if you expect him to be faithful to you, you ought to be faithful to him. I mean, they expect, you get sick and you expect him to be there. You have family problems, you expect him to be there. Brother, when he preaches, he expects you to be there. How would you feel? How would you feel if you asked Brother Gene over to eat with you one day? And it was Sunday afternoon. You worked your fingers to the bone all week long. Had that house spotless. Made them kids clean up a room. You fixed turkey. You fixed dressing. You fixed biscuits. You got up early that morning, put that 5 o'clock. Run around working all over. Had your hair and curlers. Trying to get the kids ready to go to church. The preacher's coming today. The preacher's coming today. And then you got to church that Sunday morning, and you couldn't wait till his oven was worried. Oh no, did I leave the oven on? And you worried about that the whole service. Then when the service is over, as you're going out, you just can't wait to say, now Pastor, y'all just take your time, we'll be ready for you. Y'all just come on over at your leisure. Just come on over as soon as you get there, we'll have it ready. About that time, you shake his hand, and you say, preacher, we'll be ready for you in just a minute. Come on over, Brother Gene, Sister Raina, come on over and eat with us. We'll be waiting on you. And he says, oh, I don't really know if I'll make it or not. You see, Rena's grandma's coming down. We ain't seen her since she hurt her big toe, and we better spend the evening with her. You'd say, and most of you'd slap him right there. Why, you'd go, why, I'll never invite him. I'll never have him back. I worked fingers to the bone. I sweat. I labor. I cleaned this house. I bought that turkey. I fixed him biscuits. And that low-down thing wouldn't even show up. I want to ask you a question, folks. How do you think God's man feels when he works all week long, beating head against the wall on the floor somewhere, staying up for half a night, praying and praying, God, let me have a good meal. God, let me serve him a good meal. God, let me be everything be right for him Sunday when they come in. And brother, you give him some little flimsy, ungodly excuse like that why you don't come. I tell you, brother, this bunch of homecomings and this bunch, brother, that's a bunch of junk.
Amen.
Say, don't you like for us to go to homecomings? After church, it's fine. I'll go one more step further right quick. How would you feel if he did come over and you finally got him over there? He sat around there and peeked around there, kind of snarled up his lip. I like that. Yeah. Well, preacher, I got some hot biscuits. Well, what kind of butter you got? You'd say, I never seen such an ill-mannered preacher in my life. I ain't going to take time. Y'all getting the message. Let me go one more little step further. How would you feel if they just eat. Eat up all the food. And he went, got up from the table and turned around and just walked right out the side door. Never said a word. How would that make you feel? If done all that to prepare for him and he didn't say thank you. He didn't say I enjoyed it. He didn't say nothing. Just got up and walked out. A lot of times church members do that way. Go out the side door. Not say, I thank you. I enjoyed it. Not a bit more appreciative of what God's man tried to prepare for him. And if you don't believe there's as much preparation goes into a good sermon as they are a good meal, you ought to try it sometime. There's every bit of the headache.
There's every bit of the work. There's every bit of the sweat. There's every bit of the toil. Did you know a preacher, once he starts pastoring a church, he can't even enjoy his Saturdays no more. As far as enjoying Saturdays, brother, them days are gone. You know, a lot of times, look, you go out and you have a good time on Saturday night and you go to the shopping center and you have, and all this stuff. But a man of God, they have to do those things, but he can't enjoy it. His mind's constantly on that service tomorrow morning. What he's going to preach. How's this going to go? Lord, help me. Lord, am I sure I'm right? And he's constantly preparing. Constantly. You never get a minute off. Sometimes when a man of God goes fishing, people decide and say, I don't believe you ought to go fishing. But did you know when he's sitting out there on the riverbank fishing, brother, he's constantly thinking, Lord, give me something to say. Lord God, help me. And it never gets off his mind. He never has a day off. He never has a day when he don't worry about his job and his people. He never has a day when he don't worry about problems and their feelings and what this one thought and wonder if he said the right thing and wonder if he said the wrong thing and wonder if he's too strict or wonder if he's too soft. He never gets a minute off. It's full time. And then you know also sometimes he's expected to do the job alone. I know a lot of times God's people don't realize this. I believe a lot of times he's expected to do the job alone. And then when he don't do it, he gets a blame. I want to say to you, church here today, Liberty Baptist Church, there is no man under the sun can do the job alone. Let me tell you about a ball team. Behold, a ball team went forth to play a game of ball. Just as the umpire was saying, but the catcher for the home team arrived and took his place. The center fielder and second baseman didn't show up till the second inning. First baseman didn't come at all, but later sent his regrets, saying he had to go to a chicken dinner at my Aunt Mary's. The third baseman likewise showed up, having been laid up the night before, and he preferred to spend the day in bed. The left fielder was away visiting another ball game across town. The shortstop was present but left his glove at home. Fairly, when the preacher entered the box, he looked around to see his teammates, and lo, his heart was heavy when he saw so many empty places in the lineup. The game had been announced, and the visitors were already in the stands to see the game. There was nothing left for him to do but go ahead and pitch and hope for the best. So the pitcher tightened up his belt, stepped into the box and did his dead level best to put one over the plate. But for some strange reason, he just couldn't find the groove. Some of his teammates began to ride him for wild pitches, and loud boos began to come from the stand. At the close of the game, the home team, what there was of it, was mercilessly beaten. After hearing the disgraceful defeat, the rest of the team decided that a new pitcher should be hired. It must have been the poor pitching that had lost the game. Behold, a preacher went forth to preach, but that is another thing. I want to say, brother, he can be the best preacher in the world, but he can't do the job alone. It takes teamwork. Teamwork! Some are praying, some are fasting, some are backing him up, helping him out. You know what most churches need? I found out, you know, the pastor, he don't have a pastor. You've got a pastor. You've got somebody, when you got problems and everything, you can call him and ask him help with your problem. But a pastor don't have a pastor. You know what I found that preachers need, and pastors especially? They need a pastor's friend. Some man in the church that won't side up with the rest of the church against him. But will go to him and put your arm around and say, Pastor, I'm with you. I'm your friend. And be somebody for him to talk to. There'll be times he'll need somebody to talk to. They'll need somebody. He'll need to unload his problems and his burdens on. And brother, let every one of you here today from Liberty Baptist Church be a pastor's friend. Somebody that he feels like he can lean on when he's weak. And somebody that he feels like that he can trust you and rely upon your prayers. Things like that. All right, I want to say just a few other things, and I'm going to close. Did you know in Hebrews 13:17 you're to obey your preacher? The Bible says obey. That's very unpopular in the day we're living in. You know what? A man told me here not long ago. He said, boy, I heard the silliest thing the other day. He said, they've known something down here at such and such a church. And somebody said it was the deacon's job to make that decision. And he said, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. And I said, I agree with that 100%. And I thought he was going to say, you know, that's God's man's job. And he said, everybody knows that church is deceived. I mean, the preacher wasn't even mentioned. He wasn't even a candidate. Most churches, the preacher, all he is just a referee. That's about what his job amounts to. He's just there to say, no, whoa here, and go and settle little spats and pour fire on the water on the fire and try to settle argument. Well, run over here, now you shouldn't feel bad at him. And then you run over here, now you shouldn't be bad at him. Y'all ought to hug next. You know, all he does is go around and solve problems. Preacher's job is a lot more than that, friends. A lot more than that. You ought to obey him. Somebody says, I'm just as smart as he is. That's what they did to Moses. And they might have been, but there's only one difference. God didn't call them. He called Moses. Just like a man and wife, you know. A man and wife, man, as far as being created, they're equal. But man's got a different place of authority than the wife. And that same way is in the church. Everybody's saved. Everybody's equal. But still you're in a different position. Man, I'm going to say this, and I promise I'll close. You ought to support him. You ought to support him. Three ways you ought to support your pastor. And I know what most of you are thinking, and that's the least important one. Without these other two, that last one, it ain't much. You give him $1 million, but he'd rather have your prayer.
Amen.
The first way you should support your pastor is with your prayer. With your prayer. He ought to be tops on your prayer list. Amen. There's a lot of people today, brother, who's got 59 evangelists on their prayer list. And some radio preacher, some TV preacher. And oh, they just send, oh, do this for that and him and pray for him all the time. Right here's the man that ought to be tops on your prayer list.
Amen.
He ought to be the first one. I know you ought to pray for your wife, your family, and your husband and all of that. But other than that, God's man, your pastor, ought to be the first on your prayer list.
Amen.
And let me say this today. He also ought to be your favorite preacher. Somebody walks up to you, who's your favorite preacher? My pastor's my favorite preacher. You know how come most people say, name an evangelist? Because they just ain't sat around and thought much. You think just for a minute. An evangelist, all he does is preach his 6 messages. If you follow 99% of them, they preach just about the same 6 every week at every church they go to. And I mean, they got them messages perfected. I may be getting into trouble by saying this. But it's easy for a man to come through in 1 week and preach a bunch of good stuff and everybody just, woo, glory to God. He really helped me. He's the best preacher I ever heard. But if you want to find out what kind of preacher he really is, go visit his church.
Amen.
See how many he's got on Wednesday night.
Right.
See how many of his people still listen and join to him preach after they've heard him 5 years, after they've heard him 10 years, or even 1 year.
Amen.
And a lot of times you'll be glad for the one you got. See, after you hear a man say something 3 or 4 different times, it just don't do nothing for you. You know what I had a man tell me one time, and I like socked him. It hadn't been wrong. I was preaching a revival in a church, and you know how it is. Man, when you go into a revival, you can just boom, 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 Lord, and you don't know nobody, you don't know how they live, and there ain't a bit of trouble in the world, preach. And he took us out to eat, and me and him and the pastor were sitting there, and he looked at me right in the pastor and said, preacher, that is the best preaching I've ever heard. How do you think that made that man feel that had worked and sweated and preached that man Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and prayed for his kids to keep them out of hell? And here comes this little evangelist just floating for a week, brother, and gets all the glory and all the credit, and everybody just eats him up. Brother, I don't believe that's a bunch of bull. I don't believe you ought to do that. I believe you ought to stop and think for a minute. Think! Get some brains in your noggin. You think just for a minute. I mean, don't just say, oh, he's this and I loved it. You better think. You better think. You listen to him 6 months, and you'd probably despise him. Say, he's got short hair. You know, a lot of them preachers have got such short hair, if they took the grease out of it, it'd come down to here. That's right. Amen. You better think, folks. Just think. You ought to support him with your prayers. Yeah. And then you ought to support him with your presence. I've done said that, so I'm not spending no time on that. And then thirdly, in closing, you ought to support him with your prayers, your presence, with your pocketbook. You'll support him with your pocketbook. What does the Bible say? Say, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. They that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Amen. If you've got a good ox, brother, and he plows that cornfield, and he's shelling the corn, as we like to say it, and he's doing a good job, you don't take him home to the barn and not give him nothing to eat and lock him up in there and say, well, you just go find yourself something. If you do that long, he won't be shelling the corn. If you do that long, he won't tread it out. If you've got a good ox, brother, that shells out the corn and plows the field, then you'll take him in there and you'll feed him, give him all he needs to keep him up. You know, there's a lot of churches think it's God, their job to keep God's man poor. And the Lord, we'll keep him poor, you keep him hungry. Get demons. They get demons. I really believe that. You say, well, if we give him too much now, we don't want him to get the big head. We don't want him to get spoiled. I don't know too many preachers that's in danger of that. Not too many. And I thank God, I understand Brother Gene's going to be on full time and preach the Word of God, and that's wonderful. Praise God for it. But you remember, he can't concentrate. He can't concentrate on God and His Word like he can if he's all the time having to worry about a bunch of bills and having to go out and mow some grass, brother, to try to get up enough money to get his kids something to eat. You ought to support him with your pocketbook. I believe if you have a TV evangelist you like, and probably most of them you shouldn't, but if you do, if you have a TV evangelist you like, and you want to send him $20, you ought not to do it till you give your preacher $20. Say amen right there. Amen. You tell me that guy on TV spending thousands of dollars an hour needs it more than this man? Hey, I tell you what I'd do. If anybody in this church, walk up to me, and they point out Brother John Ollis, and they said, we work at Drexel. We work down at Drexel Heritage. And we've been thinking about giving old Brother John Ollis a raise. What do you think about that? You know what I'd say? I'd say, glory to God, give it to him. He's my brother. Hallelujah. I want him to get, I mean, if they'd pay him $10,000 a week, I'd say, hallelujah, give it to him. But you know what? Just start going around the church saying, I think you ought to give the preacher a raise. And sure enough, somebody get a demon. And they'll say, that's right. Yeah. Now, what kind of a friend is it? What would do such a thing? I don't think he deserves no more. That is sorry. You know what, folks? That is sorry. That's really bad. You know what? I'd help any one of y'all get a raise if I could. I don't care where you were. If they said double your pay, I'd say, hallelujah, give it to him. We'll get part of it back in our tithes on Sunday. But yet there's a lot of church members, and it ain't their money no way. It's in the bank. It belongs to the church and the Lord. And they say, I just don't know if it'd be God's will right now. Yeah. Think what'll buy him a new suit. You're being too good to him. You're going to spoil him. I tell you what, you just keep piling it on him like that. Brother, he'll preach himself to death. He'll fight the battle. He'll stay up and pray all night if you'll stand behind him like that. Did you know what this lady told me the other day? She's having some problems. She needed a lawyer. Now, a lawyer is a professional. He gives advice. Do you know a God called preacher is a professional? In his field, he is a professional. He can give you advice, brother, spiritual advice from God's Word. Now, what I'm saying, all this is a real God called man, you know. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to hush. And she said that every time she calls her lawyer on the phone and asks him a question, it's $20 on her bill. Say, my husband's suing me for this. Okay, write down $20 at her bill. Now, your preacher's a professional, too. And there's some people, you can call him and say, where's that verse of scripture back there about that about old Pharaoh? Where's that at, preacher? If he tells you, what if he bills you for $20? Amen. Giving you professional spiritual advice, you know. Preacher, I got this problem at my job. They're trying to get me to work on Sundays and everything. What should I do? And he spends about 45 minutes telling you, proceeding to tell you what to do. What if he's to bill you for $45? Amen. Yeah. Say, well, he don't even work. Well, anybody get up there and talk a little bit on Sunday. Remember things? I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you, church. If you want God, that's what it's read. As long as they held up his hands, God fought their battles. That's right. You support him with your pocketbook. And God will bless you for it. You treat him as a professional. You think, man, you can deal with a lawyer 2 or 3 weeks and your bill will be a couple of $1,000. And then the preacher sit over and sit to you half the night talking to you, solving family problems, stuff that'll do you 1,000 times more good. And brother, I say this. You may disagree, that's your business. I say this. If a man's right and doing right and preaching the word, you can't help him too much. That's right. Of course, I'm trusting you. You do what the Lord lays on your heart, and I know that He'll bless you for it. So, since there's only 20 or so of you here today, you might want to get this, take the rest of them. If they want to get me, my address is around here. And I'll try to help them. And I guarantee the Lord will bless your church if you do it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this church, Liberty Baptist Church. We pray our Father in Jesus' name that you would bless them. And Lord, I pray that they'd understand, Lord, that I wasn't trying to be mean and hateful, but God, I was trying to help them. And Lord, you'll bless them if they'll do what you said in your word concerning your man. I believe he is your man, Lord. I pray you bless the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brother John.
Hey, well, I want to say I appreciate the message, people. It's been a blessing to my life, and I praise the Lord for it. I want to ask Brother Gene's wife, if she will, to come up here and sit beside of him. And I tell you, old Brother Danny sure was rough on us evangelists, amen. But I say amen to every word he said. That's exactly right. And he had that thing just right. And I was in revival this week down at Pinnacle Baptist Church. And one of the men come up to me after the service was over one night and said, Brother Luther, I appreciate you. He said, next to my pastor, you're my favorite preacher. Well, I appreciate that. That made me think a lot more of him if he had said, you're my number one preacher. Because I believe, as Brother Danny said, the man of God, the pastor, he's supposed to be number one. And I believe that, and I thank the Lord for that. Now, I'm about in the motion to buy me 3 or 4 or 5 of these tapes and send them to people I know. And I'm serious about that. He said that, he kind of indicated that wasn't for this church, but I think that's for this church and every other church. Amen. That's what we need, brother, in our day. And I appreciate that. I want to say again, I appreciate the privilege to be here. And count it an honor just to have a part in this service and be able to help with Brother Gene's ordination. And so without any more talking, while we get right into the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and I'll read about 3 verses there and then read a verse in Acts. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And then in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you seers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God that we've been privileged to hear this evening. I thank you, Lord, for this message that Brother Danny's brought to this congregation this evening. And Lord, I thank you that it's the truth. It's the word of God. And I thank you for this church, Lord, this church that's called this young man of God to preach the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them. And Lord, may they take exactly what Brother Danny's preached this evening to heart. And after I pray, they'll hold his hands up. They'll lift his hands up before God, that he'll be able to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge and to declare the truth of the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the church. I thank you for it. And I pray that you'd add to it. And I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to stand by him. Our Father, if he stands for you, I pray they'd stand with him. And Lord, now I pray for the next few minutes you'd help us, Lord, that we'd say every word that you want said. And our Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost would move now and you do that that needs to be done. And I pray you'd bless this church and this sister. I pray, God, you'd bless, Lord, every man of God that's here today. May the will of God be done in every heart and every life. And, Father, we'll be careful to bow our heads and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for all you do for us, because it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, why Paul starts off writing to young Timothy, and he says to him, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And so here we see in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, as Paul begins to write to young Timothy, he writes to him and says, I charge you, and I charge you before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this charge is not just before men, but it's before God. I mean, Paul says to the young Timothy, he said, Timothy, he said, I want to give you a charge. And he said, I'm charging you before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this charge is going to take place. And he said, God is going to bear record, and God is keeping the record. And the charge is just before men, but the charge is before God. And so he said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And so what Paul's really saying to Timothy here is, I'm charging you, and this charge I'm giving to you, he said, it's going to take, he said, this charge is before God, but he said, God's going to take care of this charge that I'm giving to you at his appearing in his kingdom. And so Paul says to young Timothy, he said, Timothy, since I'm charging you, I'm before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I want you to preach the word. And Brother Gene, I want to say, your number one job is to preach the word of God. Now listen, brother, I want to say that Paul didn't write to Timothy and say, you preach the word of God like somebody else preaches it. I mean, Paul said, Timothy, I want you to preach the word of God. And may I say, it's good, my friend, sometimes to tell about experiences. It's good sometimes to talk about issues. It's good, my friend, to talk about different things. But may I say, your number one job is to preach the word of God. I mean, brother, I want to say, don't you try to preach like Luther Carver preaches. Don't you try to preach like Danny Cap preaches. But you preach the word of God. God Almighty gives it to you. My friend, don't you try to go down the road and say, brother so-and-so done it like this. But you preach the word of God just like God gives it to you. I mean, if you've never heard nobody preach it like that before, and if nobody's never stood where you're standing, and if God says preach it that way, then you preach the word of God. If it had, it's the devil. And my friend, if it caused it, everybody to get upset, to preach the word of God exactly like God Almighty tells you to preach the word of God. God may show it to you different than he shows me. God may show it to you different than he shows it to him. But Paul said, Timothy, what your job is to preach the word of God. And friend, I want to say today, if Brother Dan has already said, and the reason some preachers can't preach the word of God is because they ain't got time to study, and they got time to pray, they ain't got time to find the will of God and find the message of God, because there's so much other stuff that has to be done. But I want to say, your number one job is to preach the word of God. I mean, if it comes time, brother, somebody's got to be visited to the hospital, or somebody, my friend's got something took care of them, and it's going to take away from preaching the word of God. Why you let that be secondary in your life? If you ain't got time to study and to pray and find the message of God over going to the hospital and seeing somebody, you stay in that study and find the will of God and the word of God. Paul didn't say, Timothy, your number one job is to visit the hospital. But he did say, your number one job is to preach the word of God. I mean, son, you stand and preach this word of God and declare the truth of the word of God, and God will honor you and God will bless you if you do that. Lady, he said, you preach that book. You stay in that book. Last time, we're living in a time that preachers are getting hung up on this, and another gets hung up on something else, and another gets, my friend, away on left field on something else. But I want to say, brother, he said, get the word of God. And notice what else he said. He said, you be in season, out of season. I mean, brother, there'll be times that it'll be in season, and you can't hardly stay on the floor because it's in season. And everybody's just saying, amen, glory to God. And they'll get all excited, and they'll say, we got the best preacher in the world, and they'll love you to death. But you'll walk in one Sunday morning, and everybody looks like they've been up all night, and looks like, my God, they wonder what's wrong with you. And my friend, he'll be out of season. But just because it's out of season, you just stand behind that pulpit and preach the word of God. Preach the word of God, because that's your job, amen. It's to preach the word of God. He said, you preach it when it's in season, and you preach it when it ain't out of season. Now, I want to say something, there'll be a lot of times it'll be out of season. There'll be times that's like a calf in a hailstorm. I wondered what's wrong with you. But I want to tell you, son, God doesn't change, and this book doesn't change, and your charge doesn't change. Paul didn't say you preach just when it's in season, but he said you preach in season and out of season. I hate to say this today, but in under God's average church, my friend, it's more out of season than it is in season. And so God said, Timothy, I mean, Paul said, you preach that word of God. He said, you preach it in season, and you preach it out of season. And I say again, there'll be times it'll be out of season. But he said, I want you to be instant. I mean, just go ahead and preach the word of God. I mean, listen, brother, you're to pray, and you're to study, and you're to stay before God. I mean,
don't have to have an hour to get ready to preach, but you ought to be ready at an instant to preach the word of God. I mean, brother, I want to say, if you go somewhere to preach and they say, Brother Gene, it's time for you to preach, I want to tell you, you ought to jump up and go ahead and declare the truth of the word of God. If it hide, it's the devil. I mean, son, I want to say, God said, Paul, Timothy, he said, you preach and you be instant, you're preaching. I tell you, my friend, today, we're living in a time that it seems easy to be trying to save us, but God's man is to be instant of what accord it does of what kind of season it is. So notice what he said. He said, listen, you be instant in season, out of season. He said, reprove. Now, Daniel's done preached to the church, and I don't need to do that again. But I want to say his job is to reprove you. Now, as long as you, as he said, as long as you brag on them, they'll like you. That's right. As long as you pat them, they'll pat you on the back. And God knows I ain't never seen this church before, but I know what I'm talking about. Son, I done been down the road. I'm taking care of you something. I mean, he said, you reprove them. Now, we're living in a time that folk don't like to be reproved. I mean, when you got to stand in the pulpit and tell somebody they're wrong, they don't like that. But I want to say it doesn't change your charge before God. I mean, your charge is to preach the word, and when you preach the word of God, you've got to do some reproving. I mean, you can't preach this word of God unless you do reproving. I mean, you got to reprove people of the condition they're living in and tell them what they need, or you're not a decline the full counsel of God Almighty. And so he said, you reprove them. Notice what he said. He said, you preach the word, you reprove them, and he said, rebuke them. Well, I mean, it's easy sometimes. You know, when you're preaching on heaven, everybody's going there, and they're saying amen. They're walking around and shouting, and they say, but it's easy to preach like that. But every once in a while, God's man has got to get up with a burden in his soul. And my God, that God's given him a message, and he's got to do some rebuking. And it ain't easy to rebuke people. God said, you do that. You can't preach this Bible unless you rebuke people. You can't preach the Word of God unless you rebuke people. I mean, people have to be rebuked. I mean, brother, you have, if you have the right kind of family, you have to rebuke your children. I mean, if you don't rebuke your children and you all let them go, you have children that ain't respectable and children that ain't grateful for nothing. If you don't ever rebuke them. If you don't ever rebuke your church and show them what they need, they won't be respectful and they, my friend, won't care and they won't be the kind of people that God Almighty even can be. I mean, he said, you get up there and you rebuke them. But notice what he said. He said, you reprove them. And he said, and you rebuke them. But he said, don't stop there. He said, and your job is to exhort. And he said, when you do these things, when you reprove people, and when you rebuke people, and when you exhort people, you're doing with all long suffering. Oh, brother, that's what we need in our day. That's what we need in our day, is preaching, is reprove. Rebuke, and my friend, exhort what it means to be done with long suffering. I mean, my soul, when you get in that pulpit and God give you a message, and you know you got to reprove, and you got to rebuke that congregation, I mean, son, stay before God till God bless your heart, and God troubles your soul, and there's hair in your eye, and a burden in your soul when you got to rebuke them people. Oh, I mean, whenever they need rebuking, don't you get up there and do it. I mean, in an attitude that you're upset, are you mad, but you get up there with a burden in your soul, and my friend, have a power of God in your life, and a tear in your eye, and you rebuke them, have a cause for God's people, and you love them, and you have to do that, amen. He said, you do it with long suffering and doctrine. He said, you exhort. And so said that word exhort means to gouge. Amen. I mean, he said to exhort. I mean, the reason you have to keep exhorting people in our day is to keep them awake. Amen. I mean, you got to keep gouging people. I mean, you got to keep at them, brother. You got to keep on them. I mean, there's some people that go to church that you can't never let alone. I mean, you've always got to be a gouging. You've always got to be exhorting. You've always got to be reproving them and rebuking them, because, my friend, they'll quit church and quit God if you don't do that. And some people got to be, my friend, exhorted. Because he said, for the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they have, he said himself, teachers have in each ear. Now, Gene, we've come to that time. We've come to a time when people, my friend, has turned their ear away from the word of God, seeing they don't want to hear it in our day. But Paul said, Timothy, the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. Now, a lot of people say the Bible, how the preacher's going to preach on doctrine, but this word of God is just about made up of doctrine. You preach this book, son, and my friend, you stand out in the middle of the road, and then I can eat. Then I want to say just a few words over here in Acts chapter number, my friend, chapter number 20 and verse number 28. He said, you take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. I mean, Gene, your number one problem will be Gene. Your number one problem won't be your wife or your little boy, but your number one problem will be Gene. I mean, God said, I'll tell you what you do. You take heed to yourself. I want to tell you, son, before you ever get in the pulpit, before you ever preach the word of God, and stand, my friend, where no man can stand without God, you first take heed to yourself. I mean, you have a look at number one. I mean, you take number one and put him before the mirror, and you size up number one before you get before people. Take heed. Take heed to yourself. I mean, it's the word of warning. I mean, if one of your children was fixing to run across the road out there, you'd scream, and what you'd want them to do would be to take heed because there's a car coming. Son, we ought to take heed because one day we're going to stand before God. I mean, we ought to take heed to ourselves, how to preach this word of God, whether anybody likes it or not, because one day we're going to answer to God Almighty for preaching this book. Take heed to yourself. You take heed to number one. That's you, Gene. Take heed to yourself, therefore, unto yourself, and watch this, and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. Now, Danny touched on this a while ago, but I mean, you're the overseer. I mean, I don't know anything about your church, and I've never seen before. I hope to get down there maybe one of these days. But what I'm trying to tell you is you're the overseer. You say, preacher, we got deacons that's been there for 30 years. He's still the overseer. Preacher, we established that thing 40 years ago. He's still God's overseer. Amen. I mean, brother, he said, take heed up and go all the flock. Now, when you think about a flock, I mean, you think about a flock of sheep. And being in that flock, there's old sheep, there's middle-aged sheep, and there's young lambs. God said, you take heed to yourself. And not part of the flock, but to all the flock. That old grandma was 85 years old and can't hardly get to the house of God and hobbles in on the cane. Maybe once or twice a month, you run over and see her every time you can. I mean, brother, I mean, she's sure to come every service, but some of them can't do that, Gene. I mean, some of them ain't able to come every service. Have it lived there just because they can't come and because they're not able to come. Don't you say they're not faithful to the house of God. And I'll pay no attention to them. But you take heed to them old saints of God. I mean, you take heed to them. And what do you say? You take the oversight because God placed you over them to do. We're living in a day that old crowd in a lot of churches wants to be rejected. Two main reasons why I needed to leave a Baptist church the first time. Two main reasons. Number one, the old folks. Number two, the young folks. Them middle-aged people can make it, son. I mean, if you've got to let anybody go, you let them from 20 to 50 make it by themselves. If you've got to let anybody go, you let that crowd, that's strong in body, and they're strong, and if anybody needs to go by themselves, let them go by themselves. If you ain't got time to see about everybody, you see about them old people and them little bit of you lads. My God, he said to take heed over to a flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. And Gene, don't ever get to thinking you know everything, and nobody can't tell you nothing. You find some of them old you lambs that's been in this journey a long time, and you stood right up close to them and listen to what they got to say. And they can tell you something nobody else can't tell you about some experiences that they've had and that nobody else ain't had. And put a strain in yourself and a shout in your soul, and you're going to like him if you don't do that. Just because you're the overseer, and just because you're from the party, don't you do it unless you do it in love, unless you do it in long-suffering, unless you take the oversight of that whole flock. I mean, my God, we're living in a time. Boy, I hate to cry here, but I got to do it. I mean, we're living in a time that when people get old and they're not able to go to the house of God and they can't be there every Sunday and they don't maybe have as much time to put in since they're living on fixed income. I did a lot of churches that are pushing them aside and said, let them go. How about you get your bus if you got something like that and you send somebody down there and bring them in the house of God and preach the word of God and love them and tell them that you love them because they're still God's children, even though they may not have been a lamb like the rest of me. They still want to flock, amen. There's anything like it in our Baptist churches. The old folks are being rejected, being pushed aside. Hey, man, I know you're a new man. You ain't got a lot of them, like a lot of churches have. But I tell you, men of God, some they need to be looked after. They need to be took care of. I mean, some of them old people, I mean, been pushed aside, and they can no longer teach the Sunday class, and their voice is no longer pretty. They can't sing like they used to could, but Gene, they're still God's young son. I mean, you love them, praise God, because the Holy Ghost makes you overseer over all of them, not just some of them, but all of them. And I tell you how it is, if you don't watch yourself, you'll find two or three groups of 30 or 40 age, and they'll try to glue to you, and they'll try to love you more than the rest, and they'll want to have you over every Sunday. And if you don't find, if you don't watch yourself, and if you don't take heed to yourself, you'll be an infection half the congregation, and you'll be letting half them see, or go without a shepherd that you're looking at them, and while you quit to some kick, and while you bow to somebody's will. But don't you do that. I'd rather die today. It's about a man's will. Lord God, I'll tell you something. I mean, now I want to tell you. I mean, you watch. I mean, you watch that out there. Because sometimes that crowd, that glues to you to start with, will be the same crowd that'll stab you in the back 6 months or a year from now. That crowd that loves you more than the rest of them loves you. And that crowd that lifts you up higher than the rest of them does. You watch that out there because it won't be long. There'll some of them will cut you down. Amen. The preacher, I don't like that. I didn't come to preach what you like. I come to preach a card to him. Amen. My God, I want to tell you, son, that you're supposed to have the oversight over all of us, not just part of us, but all of us. Just because somebody can't be at church every Sunday morning, I believe in being faithful. Don't you get me wrong, you ain't never seen a preacher that believes in being church more than I do. I may not have missed 5 Sundays in 15 years. I mean, I believe you ought to be there. There comes a time that most folks ain't able to be there every Sunday. They can't make it every Wednesday night because they're not physically able to get there every Wednesday night. But just because they're not there on every service, don't you let that crowd go neglected, because you're put over them to look after them and care for them and see that they've got what they need. Amen. That might not be proper preaching, but that's good whether you like it or not. Amen. Because you're supposed to take the oversight of not part of the flock, but all the flock. Now, I found out, Gene, since I've been a preacher, and of course I'm not pastor now, I pastor for nearly 7 years, but I found out that the crowd in the church, I hope you don't have these, but there's a crowd that'll want to cater to you. They'll want to take your time. They'll want to pull you away from your family, pull you away from the rest of the church, and cater to you. But don't you let them do that. That old man is 80 years old and doesn't get to church but once that Sunday is as much your responsibility as that that sits on that pew day in and day out. I mean, he said you'd take heed over all the flock, not part of the flock, but all the flock. And you're going to answer to God for not part of them, but all of them. I mean, he said the Holy Ghost has your overseer to take heed to yourself. And the flock which the Holy Ghost made you overseer, because, my friend, that God Almighty has placed you over them all. Now, you'll find out that there'll be somebody, no doubt, that don't like your position. You'll find out that somebody don't appreciate your stand. But it's a fact that God has made you the overseer. It's not a fact this church votes you in. I mean, you say, preacher, they got to vote on me. Some, they're just trying to find the will of God. If the only reason they're voting on you, if God's not in the same, they'd be better than ever call you. God be over here. Don't you never forget that. Just because the church voted you in, don't lower your position. It's God that makes you the overseer. He said, you take heed to all that flock, not part of them, but all of them. Then I want to talk just a minute to young people. I don't know a thing about your church, but no doubt you got some young ones. Every time you can, you get your hands on one of them's head. Every time they walk by you, you rub their head and tell them how that you love them and appreciate it. For one thing, we're neglecting doing in our day. We're neglecting lamb. Boy, I thought about this the other day. I mean, Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, sure, Lord, I love you. And he said, you feed my lambs. Son, he said, you feed my lambs, before he talked about feeding sheep. I mean, you don't have sheep first and then lambs. You have lambs and then sheep. I mean, they're sheep, but they're little bitty sheep and they're lambs. And the only way they can grow is to be fed and looked after. I'm afraid we Baptists have got this thing all messed up. We think, get ready, turn them loose, and let them make it the best they can, because they're going to heaven when they die. Friend, I want to tell you that it's the will of God. I mean, when we get them saved by the grace of God, we ought to continually look after them little lambs and care for them. Amen. Boy, I mean, God give me a love for old people and young people, because I love everybody. But if there's anybody special to me, it's old people and young people. Watch what he said. He said, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. Watch what he said. To feed the church of God. Now, Gene, your job is to feed the church of God. He hath purchased with his own blood. Now, when you look out over that congregation, and they don't look right, and they look like they ain't had much sleep, and they've been out somewhere on Saturday night, and they don't look like they're ready to worship, watch what you do. He said, your job is to feed them people. I mean, just because they don't do everything that Gene wants them to do, don't you start hammering them over the head. And don't you get hung up on issues. I mean, my God, we've had more Christians, more sheep beat over the head and run off from the house of God more called because of issues than any other thing in this world. I mean, somebody get up and lambast this and lambast this, and they can't preach a message without lambasting that. They ain't a preaching the Word of God, and they ain't a feeding the church of God. Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? There's more in this book than long hair and short dresses and smoking cigarettes. There's the Word of God to be preached. Preacher, don't you believe it? That stuff's wrong. I don't practice that stuff. I don't think it's wrong to smoke, and I don't think it's right to have long hair. And I don't think women ought to wear mini dresses. But there's more to preaching this book than just that stuff. If you'll take that Word of God and preach that Word of God and love them people, my God, if any of them does that stuff, the Word of God will take care of them. If a preacher in the Word of God don't take care, you might as well forget it anyway. If they quit smoking because you harp on it, now go ahead and smoke. Preach, I don't like you. I didn't come to get you to like you. I come to preach him a charge. I'm trying to help you today, Gene. I'm trying to tell you, son, I mean, I ain't been that long, but I know what I'm talking about. I mean, somebody will brand you, and somebody will fall for you, and somebody will say you've compromised. If every time you don't get behind the pulpit, you lambast somebody over the head and raise hell about this and that. But it's your job to preach the Word of God. You better stand up looking preaching. I mean, listen, brother, anybody can get up behind the pulpit and always are griping and raising the devil about this, and my friend are fuming about this, and I'm not talking about compromising, but a preacher's job is to protect the living God. I'm about to notion to tell you folks something out here. Most of us Baptists are about straight as a gun barrel and about as empty. Hey, man. We went to lambast that crowd of smoke years ago and all this, that, and the other. But Gene, they had something most of us ain't got. So I put you, you're compromising. No, I ain't compromising. I'm telling you how it is. I mean, if you can't have people in this book, then you might as well resign tomorrow and move back to Murray if you don't move down there. If the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, doesn't do the job, Gene, you got to love people and you got to feed people and you got to love them into doing what's right. You can't take the Word of God and hammer people over the head and lambast them under and make them love God and love you. They won't do it. I mean, you can get a sheep to follow you anywhere. I mean, you're the under shepherd, and you can get them sheep to follow you if you'll feed them as you go. I like his name. I mean, brother, you can go out in a pasture and you can get you some corn and you can lead them sheep off of a rock cliff. They'll follow you till they die. But if you ain't got nothing to feed them, they ain't going far. That's God, I don't blame some people for changing churches. Hey, man, I'm serious about it. My soul, brother, before I'd sit there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, never get my soul fed, I'd sit home. See, God couldn't do something for me. Hey, man, I'm serious. Brother, I mean, God said, your job is to preach the Word of God and feed the saints of God. I mean, my God, there's been a many of a sheep hurt. There's been a many of a sheep that beat over the head Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because a man of God got it in some old goat and was trying to preach them out of the house of God. You preach this book and feed them sheep, let God take care of them goats. He'll take care of them. But if you try to take care of them, you'll ruin everything. I'm trying to tell you something, Gene. You need this. You might say, hey, I don't need this, but you will know. That's God, I want to tell you something. You can love people into doing anything. You can lead people into doing anything, and you can love them into doing it, but you can't do it with a whip. Amen. If I've got two desires in my soul, it's to see sinners saved and to help the church of God. Amen. I mean, the only way to help people is to feed them the Word of God. Amen. I stopped down yonder a while ago. I come into my friend up here. I stopped at a house, and the lady said, I think somebody had told her and evidently branded her and said, the only reason you go to hear Luther Carver preach is because you worship him. But she said, the reason I go to hear you preach ain't because I worship you. It ain't because of who you are, what you are. But I go to hear you preach because of what you've got to say. Amen. Son, that put a spring in my step. Glory to God, that put a sound in my soul. How about if you come to hear me preach the word of God for what I preach? It's to come see me for who I am. Amen. If you can't help people by preaching the word of God, then you can't help them, may I say.
You get down on anybody, quit their name because Jesus said to quit. And that's the only reason to quit. It won't be but a few days till it started again. But if you can love them into quitting and show them what's wrong, they'll never do it again. No, sir. I mean, there's been too many preachers that put too much pressure on and said, this is the way it's going. I know some good people that's been run off from a church. I know a deacon and a piano player, two of the best friends I've ever had, got run off from the church because they wouldn't go on visitation. Don't you never do that, Gene. Don't you never do that. Everybody can't get out and knock on the street like you can. No, sir. Some people can do that and can't. Some of them old saints of God down at that church, as far as going and knocking on the door, and I'm not against visitation. But I'm telling you, brother, God placed everybody in the church for the perfection of the saints of God and put us there and put us in positions as it pleased him. And just because you can go knock on doors and invite people to come to the house of God, don't you lambast them over the head till you anger them? That can't do that. Everybody can't do that. But these couple got run off from church because they wouldn't do that. Took them 3 years to ever get back in. You better watch what you're doing. I mean, God purchased church with his own blood. I mean, they don't belong to you just because you're the pastor. They're not yours. You're just the overseer. You're just God's under-shepherd to listen to him, to oversee that crowd and tell them what God tells you to tell them. He said your job is to feed the church of the living God, which he's purchased with his own blood. When you look back over the crowd, you look at them as blood-bought saints. When you have to deal with them, you deal with them as blood-bought saints. You don't deal with them as somebody joined the church to get a pat ass. You deal with them as God's youngins. I mean, Gene, some there'll be problems arise that you don't even know now. And you'll have to go with them, and you'll have to sit down with them, and you'll have to reason with them, and do everything you can to get them straightened out. But son, just stick in there and do it. God will bless you. I mean, listen, Gene, if you have to get up on Sunday morning, and you have to take the hide, don't you come back standing out there. I mean, if you have to get up one service and tie the hide off of them, you do it with a tear in your eye. I mean, son, you can preach as straight as you want to preach and preach as hard as you want to preach, and as long as you do it in love, the straighter you preach, the more they like you. But if they ever get the idea that he's taking my hide and he's enjoying doing it, they may never even come back to hear you again. I mean, we preachers have to preach straight, but we don't enjoy it. We don't enjoy cutting people apart with the word of God. I mean, there's a burden down inside if God give you love for them people. And when you have to cut them up, it'll kill you. It'll hurt you as bad as it does them. I've got my pulpit and told the people that God knows I'd rather not even preach this message because it's going to cut you off. And I know it is. And it's going to upset somebody, but I got to preach it because God said to preach it. Love them and fellowship with them and do everything you can. If you have to cut their hide off on Sunday morning, you hit it up that night. I mean, if you have to stone on Sunday morning, I mean, you'll know them at night. Love them. Because God has put you as your overseer. I mean, he said, Gene, he said, take heed to yourself and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. Now, I want to put one other thing in here now, close. Don't you neglect your family for that church. I mean, I got to put this in here. God done told me to. Don't you always leave your family for that church. Your number one job is to preach the word of God. Your number two job is to look after your family. And I preach, I don't like you. Son, you have to say. I mean, when that church is through with you, and when they've done since you own down the road, Gene, you still got a family. Right. Don't you never neglect that wife and that little boy, how many of you've got, and always spending your time running to and fro trying to pet them church members. You study the word of God and preach the word of God and stand for God and love your family and stick to your family and then do the best you can for that church. Amen. Amen. Danny, I think that's supposed to be. I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, I think God established the church and God called a man to preach the church, but God established home before he ever did a church. Amen. I mean, I found out some the hard way. After you've run yourself to death, and after you've lived for years and years, and after you've spent your life running for a church, and after you're gone, they don't care much about you. I hate to tell you that. I don't know how long you've stayed in this church, but if this church is like the average church, Gene, once you're gone, they won't care much about you.
They'll love you to death and pray for you as long as you're doing what they want you to do. But if God Almighty ever says go, the average church won't care much about you. But you still got a wife. And don't you forget that. Amen. Getting quiet now. I'm trying to tell you like it is. If a church don't love you for taking care of your family, they ain't fit to have a pastor anyway. If a church wants to demand all your time, never let you have no time with your wife and your young ones, they ain't fit for you to pastor to start with. To preach on you before we leave, tell me what room you want to meet me in. Amen. Amen. Last God, I want to tell you, son, I believe that this thing ought to be shot straight. And I believe today, Gene, is the time to get it straight. Yeah. Amen. I mean, son, you're to love that church, do everything you can for that church, but don't neglect your family. Take some time for your family. When that little boy wants to go play, and somebody's got a snotty nose, you go play with that young one. Amen. Amen. I mean, when somebody's over at the hospital, and they, as the preacher said, they stunt their toe, bless God, just let it bleed. I mean, you don't have to go over there every time they go. Well, I passed through the church one time, and a woman got in the hospital, and she thought I ought to stay there and go to the hospital and see about her instead of going preaching a revival. You can't satisfy them. You might as well forget that if you think they're going down and satisfy everybody. Because I got something you ain't. But your job is to preach the word of God and love them people and do everything you can for them. But don't neglect your family good. If you do, somebody's going to regret that. Amen. So now, first, I don't know about that. Well, you just don't know about the book. That's what your problem is. But I want to tell you, sister, you stick with him. When you married him, you took him for better or worse. And the Bible said the two of you had become one. And when he gets up to preach, you pray for him. If every time he goes to preach, you go with him. I mean, it don't mean nothing more to that preacher than the fact his family's with him. I went to church and they got jealous because of my wife whenever I went. Some of the men got upset because I paid more attention to my wife than I did them. How do you think it's supposed to be? Huh? And you say, preacher, that's comical. That's the truth. I mean, there'll be some of the brethren think you ought to spend all your time with them. But if you can go with him, you go with him every time he goes. And as Danny said, if he preaches the same message 3 Sundays straight, you say, oh, Jesus, in the will of God. I mean, do everything you can for him. Somebody said behind every good man is a good woman. You're part of him. You can't preach. I want to ask you a question now. If there's a haystack out here in the field and she's to lean over, and all of a sudden you grab a prop and put that prop up against that haystack, and there stands that haystack, and it's lean, but you're leaning on the prop. I believe every real man of God needs a prop. I believe every man of God. Now, I want to ask you which is the most important, the haystack that's got the pole inside, which is a man, or the prop that's holding it up? Huh? Which one's the most? I think I might put a word in here about the church. Maybe Daniel, maybe touch somebody in. But I want to tell the church, don't you neglect this preacher's wife. Don't you love him and appreciate him and always Brother Gene this and Brother Gene that, his wife in the background. Hey, man, if I knew you would, bless God, I'd plow some right there while you're here. I mean, son, there's been a many of a home that's had trouble and a church that's had trouble because the church wouldn't respect a man in God's wife. So you love him, you stand by him, stand with him. And as Danny said, if you try to take a leading position, they'll say she's a damn dog. But if you don't do nothing, they'll say she won't even help us. So you just go ahead and do whatever God tells you to do and stand by him. Preach the word of God. You can't preach it, but you're part of him. Amen. I don't think I'd have been where I'm at today, and it's my family. How about that? I mean, I've even had people say the reason you get some inner revivals is because you got a family constraint. Doesn't make me much difference whether it's about getting, because I got a family constraint or whether I ain't got no family, just so I get it, is all I care about. Amen. I mean, if God wants to fix me up with a family constraint to open doors for me, well, I ought to shout because of that. But I mean, some people get upset because that God opens doors for you. I mean, I was down here in revival this week. I was down here in Smart Grove this morning and heard Wilson said, we baptized 28 last Sunday. Most of them is touching me. I was in a revival a couple of years ago, and I think it was like 22 or 24 got saved. I mean, the preacher's son-in-law got saved, and the whole crowd of them got saved. And that preacher said, I don't understand this. But you sit here and listen to me preach for all these years, and then you come along and they get saved. Brother, you talk about a mess. I mean, son, preaching the Word of God and pastoring church and living for God is a job. And everybody ain't going to love you. And everybody ain't going to appreciate you. But your job is to stand for God. And don't you try to fit in everybody's half a bushel. If you try to go down to that church and do it like New Manna does it, you'll blow that thing apart. If you go down and try to do it like Victor does it up here, or somebody does it down here, you'll ruin that church. You can't do it like nobody else does. Look at people like nobody else pastors. You got to do it the way God says to do. It's your job to preach the book and love them people. Gene, I appreciate you. And I love you. Never been with you much. But you're my brother two ways, in the spirit and in the ministry. And I want you to know if I can ever help you. Because Danny's your pastor, and you got one of the good ones I've ever seen. I appreciate him, love him. But if I can ever help you in any way, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I know what Danny said when he said, a preacher ain't got no pastor. I don't have it. But if Danny's ever out of town and you need somebody to talk to, I'd be glad you'd give me a call. If you ever run up against a problem and you don't know how to solve it, you can't get in touch with him, I'd be glad to try to help you with it. I mean that. I've been down the road, and there'll come some times that you got somebody to unload on. There'll come some times the load gets so heavy, and I hate to say this, but I dare to say in the average congregation that's got 100 members, 100 people that come to church, you can't find 2 men that you can lean on. I'm talking about go-to confidant and tell them your problems, and no one will ever go no further than that. Danny Cassidy, I'd say amen to that. You can go to the average man, tell him what your problems is, and before you ever pick one out, you make sure it's the right time. Before you ever unload your problems on any man, you make sure it'll never go no further than that. Because if you unload your burdens on a man, and he gets back in the church 9 times out of 10, he'll run the church. Our preacher's down, and our preacher's this, and our preacher's that. And the first thing you know, you got a discouraged congregation. Because somebody you tried to trust and relied on went ahead and told things over the post. I want to say to you church members, that's God, some of you men ought to be the kind of man I'm talking about. Some of you men ought to be the man that this man of God can come to, and you don't never leave what he told you. Don't never leave your mouth. You don't even tell your wife. I mean, you wouldn't think much of this church if you come to this preacher and unloaded your burden, and the next Sunday morning got in church and lamb blasted you over, would you? Huh? You wouldn't go the next Sunday to hear him preach. Amen. That's good, ain't it? Some of you find some of you men get to be the man of this preacher that I'm talking about. Danny, I think we'll ask him to come and his wife and kneel here. You can come ask the presbytery to come and lay hands on him and then carry on from there. You come take charge.
Amen. Appreciate the charge. And again, we're not taking any more time. We thank God for the message. Believe the Lord sent it. I want to ask the ordaining council, informed a while ago, at 7:30, and these deacons will be coming and men. We informed the ordaining council a while ago. And while we're waiting just a moment, if you men got a word on your heart, I'm going to start with Brother Richard. If you got something you want to say to Brother Gene, just go by and say it to him. Verse of Scripture, whatever's on your heart.
Must be in a bit new manner. All your faces look so good and everything. Really miss a lot of you. And, I'm thankful for the Lord saving me by His grace and mercy. And, you know, nothing like to do to deserve it. The love that He showed me and the grace He's given me. And, you know, I got to think, you know, what would be the best word for me to leave with you? I guess, you know, I've been here since the church started, seen a lot of you grow, seen a lot of you get saved. miss a lot of. Now, yes, you know, if I had a word to leave you, don't never quit. Don't never quit. Just keep on getting for the Lord. Get behind Brother Dan. Lift him up. Pray for him. Back him up. Support him all you can. Support him all you can. Even if you can't support him. Stand behind. I appreciate each one of you and love you. And I'll be needing your prayers, of course you know. And I'll be looking forward to it. And I'll see you. If we don't see you no more here, we'll see you in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, open the book of Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I'll be bringing just a short message to this church. We're glad to have the members of Liberty Baptist Church with us today, all those of men back their families that are here. And, of course, a lot of them's not here. I really was kind of hesitant about preaching this today on account of many of our church members being here. It was kind of hard, but maybe I'll get this tape and take it back down yonder and let the rest of the church members hear it. It'll be for them. In Exodus chapter 17, story of Moses. God called Moses to preach the burning bush. Moses, like most men, give excuses to keep from preaching. God gave his excuses, and he had to go ahead and preach anyhow. And of course, Moses was a great man of God, the Lord mightily used. And we're going to read just a little bit about him and say just three or four things to the church, the Liberty Baptist Church. And then Brother Luther will be bringing the charge to Brother Luther personally. Exodus 17:11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now back in the book of Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. I want to read verse 31. Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. Well, you see in verse 30, Aaron spake the words of Moses, which the Lord had commanded unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the...